It is good to be with the people of God, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity to listen to the Word of God and to learn together. So let's pray before we begin. Gracious God, you know what it is that we need. You know the needs in this audience, in these hearts, needs beyond what we even know. And we ask that as we come to your Word, that we would hear a word of rebuke, a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of sorrow to join us in our sorrow. Whatever it is, God, that we have need of, we ask that you would bring it to us, to our hearts, through your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So when I was 6, my family moved from Memphis, Tennessee, where I was born, to Long Island, New York. During the move, my mother had a peony plant that had previously lived in our yard in Memphis, and she wanted to bring with us to New York. So she dug it up and she potted it, and it made the harrowing journey from Tennessee to New York. When the weather turned warmer, she put it out on the back porch so that it could get some better sunshine before she started to plant it. And about that time, we had had some guests over, one of whom was about Bethany's age. I think they were maybe 6 or 8 at the time. And they had sat out on the front porch and had played in the back and things like that. And at some point, they had gotten started talking. And this guest, a young child, had unintentionally and completely absentmindedly pulled every single leaf off of this peony plant. And they didn't even notice that they had done it until it was far too late to salvage the plant. And it was totally plucked over and bare. They felt really badly about it, and my mother basically decided that this plant was as good as dead. There was no bringing it back. It had just, that is the way that it was going to die. But a few weeks later, we were out in the backyard, and we had put the plant beside the stone steps, sort of out of sight, behind a small bush, and we were eating in the yard, and one of us looked over and said, "Hey, I think there's a leaf on that plant." And we pulled out the peony plant. We noticed not only had some of the leaves grown back, but the whole plant itself had been totally revived. There were new branches and almost triple the initial foliage. What we thought was dead had new life. Let's read from Ezekiel 37 today. We'll be reading 1 through 14. "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off completely. Therefore say to them and prophesy, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from the graves, O my people. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil, Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. So in life, sometimes we are the plucked plant or the barren bones, looking to everything and everyone a dead thing. Our text from Ezekiel tells of a vast number of dry bones in this dusty desert. The text actually says that the bones are very dry. The prophet identifies that there is absolutely no hope left in these bones. Skeletons don't just reassemble themselves and go about their day, and these bodies had been dead for so long, the bones themselves had forgotten anything other than parched oblivion. We have all had times where we felt so past the work of renewal that we shared with these dry bones a total lack of hope for ourselves or for our desire to be anything other than dead. We have known passion just as they knew skin and sinew, but it has been so long, we cannot truly imagine a world where they're present again. Maybe your dry bones bear the mark of relationships that have long since been dead. Your marriage is lifeless, you function as mere roommates, emotionally closed off. Maybe it's your connection with your children, or rather your disconnection. Those who you raised are now strangers, people you awkwardly meet a few times a year, and you feel guilty because you know more about your coworkers than you do your own child. Maybe you're the child, and the connection you had with your parents sits on a shelf dustier than the Kansas plains because your separation from them or their rejection of you. Your siblings, maybe, with whom you were once close, now exist as non-relevant connections. Because of these relationships that are fading, it's as if you're stiff, your muscles atrophied because you can't even manage to pick up the phone and call. You're hiding behind walls of animosity or shame or long-held grudges you're not really sure mattered in the first place. Or maybe your friends or people that you once considered friends are distanced from you because of an issue or a misunderstanding, and you don't even know where to start to infuse new life or new possibility into that connection. Maybe the skeleton of your life is marked by your concerns about work. You were let go and you don't have any idea what to do next. You and your boss don't get along well, and you're afraid what that might mean for your job security or even just your job sanity. It could be that your worry about financial concerns have dried up your bones, making what is left of you brittle, ready to be destroyed at any second by a small financial shift that you didn't expect. Your health might be hopeless, frustrating, concerning. Your finances dried up, unstable. Your friendships and relationships skeletal, empty. There are many parts of our lives where we feel like we are the dry bones. But sometimes we are Ezekiel, examining the dry bones of the withered plant, having given up, but not without good reason. Anyone who sees what is left of this formerly living thing would also come to the same conclusion. It is too far gone, too dead, too dry for renewal. These bones are not human bodies, but true skeletons, sun-bleached, dried out from time spent in the sun. Perhaps you've given up in asking in prayer for that family member's recommitment to God. You've decided that a friend is too far gone and cannot be saved. We assess even entire congregations, communities, systems, governments, and those we believe that are failing and to hand themselves over who are just rattling, hopeless bones. These problems are what we see at large around us, bigger even than our personal lives. No matter your political space, you may be despairing at the government or the way that the wealthy prioritize their own success and control over the needs of real people. We worry about whether Haiti will ever get a break between their political instability and the hurricanes and earthquakes they're experiencing. After more and more discoveries, we wonder if any true justice will be had for Native peoples who were killed in schools that claimed to save them. Concerned, we quietly express any doubt that peace will ever be found in Afghanistan. Our hearts ache over the housing cost crisis and many who have resources but not enough to house themselves. We worry about the ozone layer and air quality, the destruction of native plants and animals, and the decimation of their habitats. All of these things seem like a plant stripped leafless, like a field full of dusty, dry bones. When we live here, it's as if we, whether dry bones or dry bone assessors, are completely cut off from any promise of life. The sign at the entrance of the bone-filled canyon says what we secretly believe. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. But our text tells us a different story. In fact, hope is on display from even the first few lines of our text. To prophesy to dead bones is to hope for something to happen to them. No one who has no hope prophesies, and no one who has hope fails to prophesy. In this desert, God commands his prophet to speak truth into that which is dead, a truth that is contradictory to what we can see. The first thing is instruction. These bones must hear the word of the Lord. This word is a promise made clearly to these dry bones, like a man prophesying to a petrified forest or to a bunch of roadkill. That world is revealed in the following lines. They will have skin and sinews and muscles again. Not only will they live in a physical way, skeletons strung up by invisible puppet strings, but they will be restored completely. Not only that, they will receive breath, the central component of life. This promise of God's is not just for those in need of full physical reconstitution, but also for those in need of renewal of spirit. This means that the bones will get bodies and breath just as much as they receive restoration and rejuvenation. Only with the Spirit of God can we possess renewed life. God promises to these bones through the prophet, as God promises to us, that they will open the graves and bring them up from them. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, those who are helpless will be made whole. The impossible made reality, that which is dead brought to life. God's power and providence are shown here, and God is not stopped by something as trivial as death and decay. For those who believe, we receive the Holy Spirit. That is this joy every day after the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came in wind and fire and power. Each Sunday serves as a reminder of the presence of the Spirit in each believer and the unity that the Spirit can bring us. This means no matter how dry our bones are, the Spirit is present. We are offered renewal, unending promised renewal. Possession of the Spirit is possession of true life. Perhaps your dry bones are your own despair. You haven't done a lot lately in growing in your faith, and you want to do more, but don't know where to start. You have let things fall to the wayside in your personal life, and you want to get back to more consistent practice, relationships. You believe intellectually, but you can't convince yourself emotionally that the scriptures, God, or really any of it is true. Maybe you've hated yourself or your body for so long, believing in God's love and care for you seems impossible. You've borne the guilt of your sin, and you can't forgive yourself even when God has forgiven you. Maybe your financial status is a hole that you dug, trying to fill yourself up with purchases instead of allowing God to take care of you, and now you have consequences you don't know how to face. Or maybe you're a regular church attender looking to the whole world, a great believer, but you feel disconnected from church, from your friends, from God, and you don't know how to get back. Maybe it all just seems too heavy, too evil, too sick, too wrong, totally beyond hope. This Spirit is for you, to breathe new life and hope into your heart so that you can reattend that which needs attending to. This Spirit means that when we see churches, communities, governments, organizations that seem to be totally without hope, whose selfishness and rage and greed have condemned them, we can pray and act in hope instead of writing anyone off. We can choose to challenge and critique these groups because we believe that even dry bones can walk again if God's Spirit is a part. Despair may be something we feel, but despair is routed, turned away and resisted by God's Spirit, allowing us as formerly dry bones to speak against that which is dead and hopeless. This condemnation is not a permanent one, one that asks for growth and renewal, instead of allowing things to stay the same for comfort's sake. Apathy is opposite to the work of God's Spirit, which inspires us not to accept the world and its ways, but to push for better circumstances for everything that God has made. We do not allow situations or communities to bully us into hopelessness with the Spirit at our side. For our church community, the promise of God's Spirit, even to an army of dry bones, is that of our own renewal. No matter what we have done or failed to do as a community, God's Spirit brings newness, fresh wind, and one purpose to us as believers. We do not lose hope in our size or lack thereof, shifting systems or new leaders, our internal divisions or our fears about the future. By God's Spirit, even that which is dead will rise again. All of our understandable concerns, things we see as dry bones in a dusty desert, God promises renewal, rejuvenation. We do not get to make decisions about how or when the Spirit works. We do not get to decide what is past God's doing, for nothing is past the work of God's Spirit. When we are Ezekiel, our task is to prophesy, to speak to the Spirit in places of arid emptiness. When there is hopelessness, we do as God asks and speak God's word of hope into dry bones. When we are the bones themselves, we are instructed to allow the Spirit to animate us. Rather than giving into despair, we do not assume that any of our struggles, any of our circumstances are past the power of God. We hear the question of God to the prophet, "Mortal, can these bones live?" In faith, we affirm, "Lord, only you know." May we trust in a God who does not wait for less dead bodies to animate, but creates in even driest skeletons, not just skin, sinew, and muscle, but a true spirit of life. Amen. You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these podcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.